Greetings, listeners, and welcome back to another Adventures with Attitude. When last we left our heroes, they had encountered a strange psycho-henshin wight, a weird former trainee of the Henshin Academy who had a device strapped to their arm, and they proceeded to try to kill Marcus. And we're going to head right back into that. If you've been enjoying our show, please give us a review on your podcast listening app of choice or on Podchaser or Apple. It'll help spread out our show and it'll let us know what you enjoy about the show, what you'd like us to change, that kind of thing. Our promo for this week is World of Wildervere. It's a fun podcast using its own original tabletop RPG system that was a lot of fun. I, Sean, had a chance to play in it, and I played a skeleton man who invented barbecue sauce. I know it's strange, but it's worth a check. And here's our promo.
Hey, Scales, is this thing on? Yeah? Okay. Hello, I'm Asher Flinhart, and if you're hearing this, that means you can listen to the World of Wildervere podcast. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and more. The show is me, my five friends, Scales and Plaque the Created, OJ the Koboloi, Rhodes the Snow Eidolon, and Ori the Moon Elf. We play a free indie TTRPG called Wildervere, run by the people who write the game and their friends. Watch us travel the magical city-states of our cozy, friendly, and wild world, learning new skills and enjoying a lot of new adventures in a Saturday morning kind of style. We release every other Wednesday on all major podcast platforms. You can also follow us on Twitter at Wildervere or on a Discord server you can find at worldofwildervere.card.co. Thank you so much for listening to our travels. Rose is going to flip when he hears we have Cloud? Whatever he called it. Bye-bye! Skills, you can stop now. What do you mean OJ's gone?
Kind of seems shocked as you see a former student of the Recaster Academy, one that you had briefly encountered, Trina Rockwell. She was a candidate to become a Black Henshin, but you see her, she's just glaring at you as she calls out,
"You get to be one?" She was right.
And you see her arm swing up, and you see like this. There's like a white Henshin device kind of built into her arm. You've never seen a recaster look like this. As she reaches up, yanks it, and an explosion of energy ripples around her as an alarm starts blaring, which, by the way, you guys, in I don't even want you guys to roll a perception to check on it. It's loud enough you guys can hear it because of the fact they were coming back. Because of the amount of time that Sebessie and the two cloaked figures were coming back, this is, I would say, like, maybe at most 30 feet outside.
Crap sticks.
As energy ripples around her, forming a silver knight-like armor with red glowing eyes, energy running around it as she yells out,
"Henshin!"
And a mechanical voice cries out,
"A whiteout hides the most psychotic of intentions. Psycho Henshin White."
I knew it.
Knew it!
And I need everyone to roll initiative.
Including me?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Alright, let's take this for a roll.
5. These dice aren't going to do well today.
Let's see. 8 plus 8. 16.
22.
Damn. 20.
Nice. Nice.
Rolled a natural 17.
I rolled a natural 19.
I rolled a natural 3.
19 plus
3. We rolled the same thing.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah. Especially since we're up against Psycho Rangers.
Johnny, what was Yuzi?
5. The turtle has a low initiative.
He's a little slow.
Who would have guessed?
I was gonna say.
Watch out, guys.
I am also a turtle, and I am apparently very fast.
Here I come. I'm on my way.
All right, well, what was that, Susanna?
I was joking. I said I am also part turtle, and I am quite fast, apparently.
You got that hair in you.
Not only part turtle, you're also old, so you got, like, the double slowness from age and turtleness.
Yeah.
You're just better than I will ever be.
you're what he aspires to be. He's like, damn, look at that.
I have a poster of Augustus in my gym.
in front of his treadmill.
Yeah, basically, you see Trina, she's a student of the Recaster Academy. She was a candidate to become a Black Henshin before the Henshin War ended and they put away the devices.
Okay.
And she basically said, you get to be one.
She was right.
They noticed my recaster when they walked past me.
I guess they're too focused on the mission.
Trina's too focused. The other one noticed, that's why they turned to face you.
Okay, cool. I was just wondering. I thought maybe I could, like, trick them, but I guess not. I wouldn't want to either. I have normal human stats without the armor on anyways.
We all do. These are our nobody forms.
So, you guys actually lucked out.
Yay. Did they roll ones?
Did we?
Look at that guy, he's being nice.
You both beat, the first friend in initiative is Fabessi, followed by Marcus.
Higher dex?
I have a 17 dexterity.
I have a 16 dex.
What did you guys roll?
We rolled 19, we have plus 3.
19.
Damn.
Oh, yeah, you're tied with Trina.
We all rolled really high.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
Yeah, good rolls.
I'm rolling my Dice Dragon's dice.
I'm enjoying my spinner dice.
Metal dice for the win.
Trust me, Susanna, these good rolls won't last.
And feel free to give some flourish when you guys attack. Like, just tell how you're attacking.
No, I mean, seriously, I generally roll balls. It's horrible. Like, Hannah, bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to be attacking to, like, stun them and, like, disarm them. Not with, like, any kind of attempt to lethally harm them.
Okay.
So, the one that's facing... So, the Bessie, as she has seen Marcus do multiple times, and she has done, I think, maybe 3 times herself at this point. I'm sure some random person's like, oh no, it's 4 times now. grabs her thing and pulls down to put her henshin armor on and takes her great axe off her back and charges towards the person who's facing her.
Okay.
Does this person have one? Or is she just a human friend?
They have a strangely ray baited version of the same one that Trina has.
Okay. Have they henshined?
Yeah, I would say they would have henshined at the same time, but there's just...
Okay.
Weirdly enough, theirs doesn't have really a call. It just says alarm, but there's no call, name call.
Okay. Cool. I just wanted to check.
And their armor is also faded as well, like a bad photocopy.
Yeah. Okay.
Xerox Ranger. Wow, we really do need sleep. That was not that funny.
No, it took me a minute to catch what you said. Like, there was a full second of processing as my mind goes from the Bessie's running, like, as she henshins to, oh, Xerox. Yeah, so the Bessie kind of, like, she doesn't wait for the whole hall or anything. She just takes off charging towards them and draws her great axe as she henshins and smacks the person with, like, the blunt end of the axe Because like I said, she's not trying to kill this person because murder's bad. And this might be a miscommunication, but she's also still a little pissed off and upset. So she needs to take her aggression out on something. So she hits them with the blunt end of the great axe. And I don't think that a 6 plus 6, 12 would hit.
Yeah, the person manages to parry with their... I feel like they kind of move their short sword and kind of parries it away.
Darn. I don't think I have another attack.
That's at 5th level.
All right, well, that's her turn.
Okay. Marcus, it's your turn.
Yeah, Marcus is going to henshin. He doesn't really have anything to say. His brain is going, what the hell, what the hell, what the hell? Psycho? White? What the hell? And he's going to ready his halberd. And yeah, he's going to rush and make sure he takes this battle outside of the Dragon's Delight, because he does not want...
Oh yeah, you guys are outside of the dragon. You guys are outside of it.
Civilians. Okay. He's going to try... He's still wanting to rush forward and keep them away so as to not draw civilians into crossfire. So... Is henshining a bonus action?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
They put it in a weird place, based in the book, but yeah, it is.
That is what I wanted to know, because of my Polearm Master feat, I can also do something with a bonus action. But since I've already used a bonus action, I can't do that. So yeah, bonus action to transform, movement, and I guess I'll attack too.
All right.
17 plus 5 for a 22.
Nice.
Okay, Marcus, as you move to swing, you see the glowing red eyes of the mask flare for a moment, and you hear the sound of rocks falling. And Eric, can you re-roll that as Psycho White deploys the reaction of Defy the Dice?
Ooh.
16 plus 5 for a 21.
That's not much of a defiance.
You can see them kind of parry and...
I defy you. No, you don't.
Parry this.
I counterspell your counterspell.
Okay, so I think you kind of get a sense that there's a twisting of magic, and I think you just kind of... You kind of see it coming, so as you start to swing and you miss, and it misses, you kind of curve around and... kind of backhand them. You follow the motion.
Right. A follow through. Yeah.
All right, and what's the damage?
Slashing. Damage is... 8. 5 plus 3.
All right, okay.
They were all Marcus, no. And you were like, Marcus, yes!
Right.
Okay, and now it's Augustus' turn.
Oh boy, I'm nowhere near these people, am I?
I would say you're close enough that you... I would say they're about... Because they went back and they came back, they're maybe like 30 feet out the door. So you have enough movement to get out to see this and stuff and do something on your turns. You're more of a caster.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to bustle outside and... Gosh, what am I going to do? Do I see this one... Would I even know which of these ones is the good guy and which one of them is the bad guy at this point?
You would, because you're the advisor. You've probably been courting these reports to the duchesses, and you know that the ones in white and gray have been... The gray armor is what's been attacking the city.
Okay.
You also saw Marcus transform.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
All right, then...
Transform to threaten me.
Augustus is going to come over and point at the one gray creature, and he is going to say, well, now I'm going to need to ask you all to just calm down, gray-skinned freak. And he's going to cast Vicious Mockery.
Interesting.
All right.
I don't know what the creature actually looks like, but this is gonna work. How do I do this?
Here's hoping. Oh no, the old man just get off my lawn, Psycho Gray.
Yes, that is exactly what just happened.
He crumbled up that Psycho Xerox.
It's gotta beat a 15 for a vicious mockery.
Yes.
Okay, shoot, it got a 14.
How about that it fails?
Yeah, so it's gonna be 1d4.
Hey, I have a d4 somewhere. Hang on, I gotta dig one out. This'll do. Come here, you. 2.
Okay, it kinda just stares, and now it has disadvantage on its next attack.
Yeah, that was mainly what I was trying to do.
Thank you.
You're trying to force that disadvantage on the next attack for you guys.
Nice.
Okay, do you have any bonus actions you want to do?
I'm just going to stay kind of outside of its range. I'm not standing very close. I don't really want to be involved in all of this. I'm just going to yell at people until they do what I tell them to.
Like a true old man. I love it.
Excellent.
All right, and now it's Trina's turn. What's your AC here?
My AC is... let's see, 10 plus my dexterity plus my charisma, which, hey, went up because level 4. So 10 plus 3 plus 1, so 14.
Okay. Wow, she has bad luck.
Yay!
You see Trina pull her longsword, and she slashes upwards, but you manage to catch it and parry it with your halberd. She's growing frustrated. She swings again, and it's just glaring at you with such hate. And then it's Obsidian's turn.
I just wanted to look at Trina and go, I'm sorry, do we know each other?
Oh, you jerk.
Aww.
Oh, mean. Oh, okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Because it, depending on the answer, is how stupid Obsidian will be.
Stupid. Stupid.
Is there any chance he recognizes this stuff from his time with Bone Meister or not? Like, I don't know if this has anything to do with him, but I have to ask because, yeah.
I would say that this is new. This is definitely new for, as Obsidian's coming out and he's seeing this.
So it would, nothing about it would remind him, nothing about it would ring any bells about Bone Meister.
Actually, roll me a quick history check.
All right, I am not proficient there, so let's see how this does. Ooh, 17. Wow.
As you head out and you see these creatures, you don't recognize Psycho White, but something about the off color of her compatriot, you have a memory of that Bone Meister was trying to figure out how to replicate Henshin.
Hey, Sean.
Oh.
Yeah?
I forgot something. I have Mentor's special technique, which gives me a +1 to damage rolls.
Okay.
While wearing my Henshin armor.
Okay, I'll fix that. She's still not blooded yet, though.
Okay, I'm just, you know, 1 point's 1 point. I'll take it what I can get, you know?
All right. Time for the stupid. Time for slightly less stupid than he would have been if he hadn't recognized it at all, which is surprising, I know. But, Raleigh, he feels it's more stupid doing what he's about to do now. Where as soon as he sees the gray one, it's like, that memory hits, and it's like, oh, son of a charging, pensioning Ozzy charges to, instead of hitting with a hammer, just punch the gray one. Obsidian is not smart.
Okay.
So, roll, yeah.
Have you transformed yet or not?
Yes. Transformed, I mentioned on the way, as a bonus action.
Okay, so your unarmed strikes do 1d4 bludgeoning damage, just FYI.
1d4 thunder damage. The network book boost Elemental Smash.
Aha!
Which transforms my unarmed attacks into thunder damage.
Alright.
Nice.
So, well, that's in between numbers. Stupid. But that's the one problem with these spinner dice, is they can sometimes go between things. And then 19 plus 3. All right, so then it's 1d4 plus strength, right?
Yep. And if you want, I think you do the, what is it? Explosive finish. If you want to take the chance.
Oh, how does that work again?
You roll at disadvantage and you can add double your proficiency.
Does he, though? Because Vicious Mockery gave him the advantage.
Oh, Vicious Mockery did it?
Oh, no, I have disadvantage. the creature has disadvantage.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't give me advantage. It just...
Right, sorry.
You know what? Fuck it. Risk it for the missing. Shouldn't have risked it. Got a 4.
Okay.
Got a 4 plus 5, 9. I'm guessing that still doesn't hit, though, so...
Yeah, that one doesn't hit. Ah, I feel you as the DM now.
So just with a thundering swing.
As you come in for the punch, the fox henchman hears you coming, and as you punch, he kind of just dodges to the side as an explosion of thunder just kind of goes right behind him from the explosive finish.
Exactly, yeah.
And he just glares in your face, and then it's Yuzi's turn.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and henchman because, well... No, you don't want to be hurt. So, pull you out. It's happy henshin time! And then... and then, I guess I will rush with my great axe and do a nice hefty swing just downward on top.
Are you following your partner, the Skelebro, or are you attacking the Psycho White?
I'm going to attack the Psycho White.
Okay.
Alrighty.
The other question is, are you moving to the side of them, or are, because I do have flanking rules.
Straight on at that. Just a rush with a great axe above my head.
Yeah, but if you're flanking, that means you roll at advantage.
Then I will flank. Okay.
Yeah, don't flank flunking.
So from an 8 to a 9.
Don't flunk flanking. Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think it... So you go in for the swing of the axe, and they kind of matrix bend to the side. So you're... Ironically, they're putting their back to Marcus. They kind of, like, twist out of the way of the axe as they glare in your direction. And Trina goes... And you were never
even in the war, or even preparing for the wars. Why do you have a henchman device?
Raging it.
Ouch.
Someone's salty.
A little bit.
And then it's top of the order again.
Right.
Fox henchman is going to swing at Sabethi.
Okay.
Does an 18 hit?
Yes.
Okay, good news. The other one was a 9.
AC of 17, so just barely.
Actually, wait, no. The first one misses. I just forgot I had disadvantage with that.
Oh, yay.
Okay, this one does. Okay, so the Fox Henshin swings twice at you, clearly rattled by the comments of the old man telling him what to do, because who the hell is he? And then, okay, now it's the Bessie's turn.
The Bessie just kind of, like, ducks around the swings and swings her great axe again. Like, two hands, putting all of her strength behind it, and does a 23 hit?
A 23 does hit.
Good. I'd be scared if it didn't. Okay. 9 points of damage.
Oh boy, okay.
2d6 plus 4.
Okay, take 9 points of damage. It is bleeding a weird black ichor as you slash across the front of it, tearing a chunk in its armor.
That's disturbing. Is Gabby not helping us? Just wondering.
Oh, I forgot to roll for Gabby. I'm sorry, guys. All right.
Oh,
simple enough. She was kind of sidelined by the argument, and she's taken a moment to figure, you know.
She's collecting her thoughts. It's all very shocking to her.
All right. Apologies, listeners. We're doing this at 7 a.m. Well, 8:30 a.m. now, but...
It's okay.
So it's early for all of us.
Did you have your coffee?
I had some soda. That... All right.
Same difference.
Okay, so Gabby runs out and henchins as she runs out to strike at Psycho White, and she throws a punch and misses. And Marcus, you see Psycho White turn to her and is just getting more frustrated, and she just tells, "I don't even know you." And now it's Marcus's turn. As you see Psycho White focus turn on Gabby.
He's going to purposely try and get the attention back on him, saying, "She's a better henchman than you'll ever be, apparently."
Oh.
And he's going to attack with polearm again. 16 plus 5 for 21.
Okay, that hits.
That'll be 14 points of damage, because I'm remembering, Mentor's technique that adds to my damage. I rolled a 10, and I have plus 3. So I rolled max damage, shit.
Was it full damage?
14 total. I rolled a 10 on the die, and I have plus 3, plus 1, so 14.
Okay,
But then I would like to use Polearm Master and my bonus attack to make a melee attack with the blunt end of my halberd, if I may.
All right.
Ah, whoa. Oh, shit. That's a natural 20.
Yes.
So, that's a 25 to hit with the blunt end.
All right, I'm going to tell you an expression, but I just needed to know how I had the reaction to it happening, okay? So how do you want to do this, Eric?
Okay, so she turns and looks at Gabby. I yell at her what I said to purposely enrage her and get her attention back on me. And then I just come down with a heavy slice for my attack. But then I quickly follow up with the blunt attack, which is a D4, by the way. 3 points of damage.
Well, let's put it this way. There's no way you cannot.
But I just crack her aside the helmet to try and knock her out, basically. I'm not trying to kill her.
Okay, so, like, as you hit her with the halberd, you carve into her armor, and then you hit her in, you strike her across the head, and you see as she seems to start to fall backwards. And then something really creepy seems to happen. The recaster glows, and there's energy flowing into it, and you kind of see her dagger kind of like with cracking noises, kind of like pop back up, sort of like a zombie.
Oh no.
But not quite. She's not zombified.
Right.
As the red energy flares around her helmet, and she... Oh, dang. She recovers 9 hit points. As she defies the striking blow.
Oh.
Her eyes glaring at you for a moment. And then, Augustus, your turn.
Let's see. So, does this person look like they're still, like, in control of themselves?
Yeah, it sort of seems like the device, it was to make sure they didn't fall down.
Oh. Well, I think I'm going to make him fall down anyways. And I'm going to cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's a wisdom save.
All right. Oh, okay. She got a 19 this time.
All right. Well, that's my turn.
I could have done Explosive Finish too. I got to remember that.
It brings it back to Trina, who's clutching her chest. She looks at Marcus, glaring. And then glares in Augustus's direction.
You can't stop us, old man. This isn't over, Marcus. I will have my revenge for what you took from me.
And she suddenly teleports out.
Oh.
In a very familiar grid teleportation.
Okay, then.
I'm here.
What about the gray dude?
The gray dude is still there. And now it is Obsidian's turn.
And now I'd like to hit him with my hammer.
All right.
Rain is still going a little bit there.
Understandable.
Yeah, let's see. Here we go. Oh, 21 to hit.
21 hits.
Alright, D10 plus 3 for my Warhammer. Minimum damage 4.
Alright, they...
That sucks.
And then how you hit him with the Warhammer?
Just, I guess after the whiff swing, he reached back to pull the Warhammer off his back, because where it keeps in force. It's a upgraded version of his nobody form hammer. And just swung right back up. So it's like right after the whiff punch, he reaches back, grabs it, on the back. It's basically the backswing of his missed punch.
Okay. And then it's the Fox Henshin's turn?
Yes.
That didn't sound good.
It's either a nat 20 or a nat 1.
Nat 20 on its first attack.
Who?
As it swings for Obsidian.
Okay.
Alright.
And I think as it sees the Warhammer swing, it kind of slashes into an armpit.
Oops.
Okay, that's 14 piercing damage.
Yeah, here. I mean, it could be worse, but ow.
I think 11 doesn't hit, so the second wing misses, and it just...
Obsidian has no luck.
It's kind of weird. It's attacking. It doesn't seem to react to Trina leaving. It almost seems on autopilot. And then it's Yuzi's turn.
All right. Well, you know what they say. First great axe swing doesn't work. Swing it again.
Are you moving to attack the Grey Henshin since Psycho White teleported out?
Yeah. I guess I just saw Obsidian get smacked, so I'm gonna go run over and try to help him.
Going out to help your skeleton bro, eh?
Ow.
Shoot, yeah. So I'll just do a great old side swing with that axe and hope it doesn't hit Obsidian too. No, I won't hit you, Obsidian, I promise.
If you roll a nat 1 now.
I rolled a nat 2.
Oh, jeez. You almost hit me.
I will say you have enough room to move to flank if you want to, Johnny.
Okay, so mid-swing, I'm going to sidestep into a flank and nat 20.
Oh!
So you barely miss Obsidian and hit him the other thing instead. Okay.
I imagine it's like a swing that glazes over your head and I sidestep for a better shot.
What the hell?
Just like, we gotta get this axe reweighted.
I mean, it does make sense that if you were gonna hit me, it wouldn't suddenly expect the swing to pass me and hit it instead. So that kind of makes sense.
My head. I feel like this is a technique you guys actually practiced while it was just the two of you working together, and it's like
it's like a pump fake.
Hey, bro, try almost hitting me.
Know how on basketball they pump the ball? Do that with an axe.
All right.
Fake out attacking your own alley.
Oh, I gotta roll for... I forgot, I gotta roll damage. 11.
Okay. All right. How do you want to do this? Also, I need constitution saving throws from Yuzi and Obsidian.
Got it.
I had questions for this thing.
Lucky for you, I'm a law student, so I know the constitution. 13, don't know that.
That will pass. So you only take...
21.
Okay, so the both of those... you both pass, so... Wow, I rolled high. Anyway. But you both take 5 radiant damage. This creature kind of... It kind of almost seems like a teleport, but you also feel like a blinding light flash out from it, and there's a bunch of ash and sand falling to the ground.
Huh. Damn it, why did it have to be radiant? I mean, that could have been a lot worse.
Is radiant like radiation while I became a special turtle?
It's like, well, I was just going to say radiant is just the holy damage. And glad I'm not an actual undead, I'm glad I'm a special undead that radiant doesn't super hurt. That would have been really bad.
Johnny, you're a holy turtle now.
I'm the high priest Yuzi.
Better than a holy cow.
Give me the Pope.
Holy half shells. Holy half shells.
Yes.
A team of turtle clerics.
Holy half shells, Batman.
The cloak falls from this creature as it teleports, disintegrates, you're not sure. And while you can't question it, you could investigate the cloak.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'd like to, pick that cloak up and investigate it.
Careful.
Right.
I'm just gonna look at Obsidian, what the hell just happened? And I'll just look at it from now. I don't want to touch it yet.
Bad. Obsidian is holding himself up with his warhammer because that hat hit.
Hey, I rolled a 25. I rolled a 25 on investigation.
Wow.
Okay. So as you're...
And I did fully pick it up to investigate it. I will say that.
Can I investigate her to make sure she doesn't die from touching it?
Do a medicine check, Johnny. Quickly.
Oh, shit.
18.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's just a dirty cloak. You get the sense whatever happened, it's a result of this thing dying.
Oh, cool.
It wasn't... As you're looking it over, it looks like you realize you never saw this thing unhension, and the way it just looked like it looked like a sickly photocopy. You get the sense this was an artificial creation.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, can I look at the? Is there any of that black stuff on there? Is that motor oil?
It seems the black stuff actually seems similar to what you saw in your very first boss fight with the pension.
Oh.
It seems to be made of the same weird eldritch ink material.
Cool.
But as with that investigation of 25.
It really was a Xerox.
You pick up that there's dirt on here.
That as you sniff it, it's weird because as you examine it and you sniff it, it reminds you of graveyard dirt. Like there's a smell of you get the sense it's from either a graveyard or someplace with a lot of bodies. You can kind of smell the decay and the general decay from bodies and just almost the upkeep of a graveyard.
Cool. Okay.
Do you say anything to the party?
First, I have a question. I would like to employ my background trait of impossible knowledge. Is there anything that I would have that would apply to my background of player? I know things about the world that I have not researched and sometimes would be impossible for me to know.
You know that there is a relatively large graveyard in this city because of one of the biggest, one of the first giant robot fights of the Henshin War happened here. And so there was against a giant monster.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. Then Thebesi turns to the rest of the party and says, we need to go to the graveyard in a very serious tone. She doesn't say anything else. She just says, we need to go to the graveyard. Where is that?
And as you guys hear that, Susanna, give me a history check.
Okay. 18 plus some stuff.
Augustus, something about this reminds you about something. The graveyard in the city, there's a tomb to your family that's there. Basically, it's locked up because there have been noises and stuff coming from it, from undead. And you know for a fact your family is a piece of shit and has been doing all kinds of it just from your experience with them. Until the Duchesses took over, you were excommunicated. You were basically given your position because they're trying to make the city a better place. And as you think about this, This seems like the likely spot if anyone was going to be messing around, doing any kind of weird science and had enough power. This would be the ideal spot for them to go and use research to do all the stuff that you've been seeing in the city with the fake henshin, maybe even making their own, because you know for a fact that your family members that were pure human were trained by a Dr. Julius Cottage. And a prized artificer and inventor who focused on biology. They did a little bit of everything, biology, mechanistry. He's a very well-known inventor and mad scientist in this world.
Julius Cottage, huh?
Yeah, I think I tell them that. And I say,
well, I know where I can find. I can bring you to this place. Would you follow me?
Marcus will nod and say, yes, please, we don't seem to have a lot of time.
And that's where we leave off this session.
Dungeons & Pop is a tabletop variety show. The campaign you're listening to now is a D&D 5e actual play that uses the Lasers and Liches supplement.